Thank you for joining me today as we get moving in a brand new week. When we left off on Friday, we were in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. In verses 5 through 7 of Revelation 1, there are 10 facts about Jesus Christ. We've looked at the first 7, and now we are on fact number 8. Jesus is coming with the clouds. This is what Revelation 1:7 says. The Apostle John writes, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds." And we said that John is quoting the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7. Furthermore, and importantly, we established that this coming is the second coming of Christ in Revelation 19, not the rapture of the church, Christians being snatched away from the earth, by Jesus Christ in 1 Thessalonians 4. There are several differences between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ, and I am not going to take time now to get into those distinct differences, which are laid out clearly for us in the Bible. However, if this is of interest to you, here is what I invite you to do. Write to me today and ask for the differences between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. Actually, you can do it in a word. Send me an email, and in the subject heading, just type differences. Differences. I'll email right back to you with those differences. My email address is mark@markaeswallow.com. That's spelled M-A-R-K at markaeswallow.com. Or send me a brief note and mail it to God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. My email and mailing addresses will be given to you again later. What are the differences between the rapture of the church in 1 Thessalonians 4 and the second coming of Christ in Revelation 19? Write to me and ask. Thanks in advance for your interest in this and for your email or letter. What I want to do now is to spend some time on the promise of the second coming of Christ given to us here as fact number 8. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. And so that you can grab a hold of this in your mind, here's a little outline of what I am going to do over the next couple of days, Lord willing. First, I want to talk with you about why the second coming of Christ matters to you. I want to set the second coming of Christ in the context of your life. I'll do this today, beginning in a moment. Second, I want to demonstrate for you that the second coming of Christ is a major theme of Scripture. The entire Bible emphasizes that Jesus will return to the earth. He came the first time, and he is coming again. I'll also tell you about this as we near the end of this broadcast and podcast. Then, tomorrow, I want to take the first part of this phrase, "he is coming," and prove to you that Jesus himself predicted his own return. We'll look at several scriptures in the Gospels. On Wednesday, we'll then see that his first coming was a mission of grace, to take away the sins of those who accept Christ. But his second coming is a mission of judgment to condemn those who reject Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And then I'll end this portion of Revelation 1 verse 7 by telling you that Christ's humiliation must result in his exaltation. We'll do that together on Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll consider that Jesus is coming with the clouds. We'll take a peek at the weather pattern, as it were. What is the meaning of clouds in the Word of God? That's coming up on Friday here on God Is. So be with us all week, would you? And invite someone to join you. Family members, friends, colleagues, someone from your church, or perhaps a stranger you meet. Invite them all to come along with us at this same time on this same station every Monday through Friday. We welcome all people to be a part of knowing who God is. We do so coast to coast in the States on the broadcast and around the world on the podcast. But first, why does the second coming of Christ matter to you? And let me address this to you as a Christian. The majority of you listening to me believe in Christ. You accept that he is your savior from sin. You know that you are a sinner. There is vast evidence for this in how you have lived your life. And you see God as the one who rescues and delivers you from the sin that so easily and devastatingly entangles you. Because of your faith in Christ and your repentance, your genuine sorrow for this sin, your eternal state is settled. When you die, or when the church is raptured, whichever comes first, you will be with the Lord in heaven, eternally, life without end. This is the promise God has made to you, and you believe it because you believe in Christ. Now you say, I'm not a Christian. I do not have faith in Christ. So I guess I ought to just turn the dial. No, wait, not so fast. Stick with me because you will want to hear what I have to say, and there will be direct application for you before this week is over. Stay tuned. Nevertheless, let's set the second coming of Christ in the context of the lives of Christ's people first. What does this mean to you as a Christian person? Well, it means so much. But let me speak within my time limits and draw this down to one thought. The second coming of Christ makes what is now unbearable to you bearable. I'll say that again. For the Christian, the second coming of Christ makes what is now unbearable, or what seems unbearable to you, something that you can bear. Think with me in your mind about what burdens you. That shouldn't take long. You've been dealing with this on the weekend and again today. Usually our burdens are with us without ceasing. They never give us a break. So you got it? Okay. It's this burden of which I speak. And because you know that Christ is coming again, because you take it as a fact that one day the sky will roll back and Jesus will return to the earth and establish his rule, then you lift your burden up again for now and carry it well, because you know you won't be dealing with this, whatever it is, forever. Let me give you an example. Caring for a relative who is unwell, perhaps even someone with a terminal illness. My wife and I give consistent thought and prayer for a dear friend of ours who, while giving birth to her beautiful daughter, who is growing up healthy and strong, her mom had a brain aneurysm that has taken away her ability to move and communicate. And yet, faithfully, her husband takes good care of her. Our friends in Christ faithfully bear the burden of incredibly poor health, and they do it well. How so? This couple do this well because they understand that Christ is coming again, and he will make all things well, including our sister in the Lord. In her perfected body, she will speak and sing and dance and laugh and praise God forever, completely transformed. And all of this because he is coming with the clouds. Jesus is coming. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who this day bears such a burden? I think also of believers who provide around-the-clock care for children who are mentally disabled or who have a neurodevelopmental disorder. Just the other day, I observed a father and his son in a supermarket as the son, a tall boy with great physical strength, punched and kicked his dad and screamed at the top of his lungs. Clearly, a young man whose brain is not functioning normally. And yet there was his father, lovingly bearing with his beloved child. And I thought, one day God is going to transform that young man. His mind will be fully functioning on that day. If you are such a parent on this day, I want you to know Christ is coming again. The present burden is not an always and forever future burden. What now may often seem unbearable to you is made bearable because of the second coming of Christ. Again, I do not know what is the nature of your burden. Others of you are weighed down by mental illness, such as being suicidal or existing in severe depression. Maybe you are in the throes of a divorce. Do you live with an abusive person? Do you carry around with you the feeling that you're drifting in loneliness? You feel you're being swiftly carried away from the comfort of being known to other people. No one visits, no one calls. Yes, in all of these circumstances, I'm speaking to Christians. Being Christ's servant in no way guarantees perfect health and monetary wealth and a stress-free, problem-free, perfect life. No, it does not. Anyone who teaches that is lying to you. Instead, all of us as Christ's people have some burden or burdens that we now bear. But the second coming of Christ makes what now seems unbearable to you bearable. Look forward with me today, dear Christian, in hope for the future. Christ is coming again, and he will lift your burden from you permanently. And when he comes, you will not be mentally ill. Your darkness will become light. Broken relationships will be made right. You'll be perfectly safe forever in God's peaceful presence, and you will be surrounded for all eternity by God's people, such that will be impossible to ever be lonely again. This is what Christ's second coming secures for you. And I want you to keep this in mind as we proceed. I will not speak to you about the second coming as some sort of lecture in theology, separate from the struggles of your present life. I do not want to preach at you in some detached way, directing my thoughts to your mind only. This is not a purely intellectual exercise. No, as always, the Bible, under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, must transform the whole person, and that's you. And I believe that is the intention of God when he makes his word repeatedly focus on this second coming of Christ. I told you I would end today by demonstrating for you that the second coming of Christ is a major theme in Scripture. Let me do so now. Did you know that more than 500 verses throughout this Bible deal with the second coming of Christ? That's right, more than 500 verses. One trusted commentator estimates that one out of every 25 verses in the New Testament testify to makes reference to the second coming of Christ. That's one out of every 25 New Testament verses. And yes, that's a lot. You see, what God says is what is important in our lives. And he wants us to know that one day, yes, still future, he's sending Jesus back to the earth. When he came the first time, the people said in the Gospels, he has done all things well. And we shall say that again. He has made all things well. So whatever your burden today, take heart. Jesus is coming again. Now, having set our conversation in the context of our burdened lives, tomorrow we will listen to Jesus repeatedly predict his own return. So join me again tomorrow, for God is...